This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Everybody, and welcome to the October 25th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. I do appreciate you being with me. And of course, I'm here to help you make some of those hard choices, whether it's simply picking a stock and evaluating it or doing a complete makeover of your retirement portfolio. I can't do that really on the show. It takes a little time, but at least I can help you get started on that path. So let's take the path together. 888-99-CHART is our anytime line. Let's open up our 24-hour listen line now and check for questions. Here's one that came in before today's program.
Hi, my name is Mike, and I live in Tracy. Quick question. About a week or two ago, Steve had mentioned PG&E taking a nosedive because of the fires up in Santa Rosa, and I was just wondering how he found that information out. Is there a website or somewhere you can go to see what stocks had really tumbled because of a certain event that happened, whether it be Black Swan event or other type of event like this fire up in Santa Rosa? And I was just wondering how he stumbled on to the PG&E kind of dipping in stocks. Great show. Thank you again for all the wisdom that you guys impart on this.
Unfortunately, no. There was no place I can go or saw or read. I heard that on the news. I heard on the news when the fire was just pretty much only a few days old that there was a suspicion that it was caused by power lines catching fire. No one knows that for sure. That's all speculation at this point. There's been no investigation. It was known at that time. But I just read it. And then, I'm looking at stocks all day long. And every time something happens in the world that interests me, I take a look at the stock. For instance, when Tesla announced that they got way behind, which I kind of knew they were going to do it anyways, on their new model car, Model 3, that way behind, much less produced than they thought, I took a look at the stock. I wanted to see what happened to it, because that seemed to be important to me, or important event. So whenever there's something going on that's, eventful, I always try to look to see what industries and stocks would be impacted. At this point, it's just kind of second nature. When I first started, I had no clue what you were supposed to be looking at or what big news events drive stocks. You hear, the hurricanes in Texas and Florida. Well, I immediately looked at that like Lowe's and Home Depot because I knew that after those hurricanes, they'd be rebuilding. Car companies, because there's a lot of flood damage to vehicles. It's just a natural response that you kind of pick up when you're doing this for a while, years. You just kind of know what you need to be looking. Interesting question, though. Appreciate it. How to find income and value in an overpriced market. So we're happy to announce that we're going to have a wealth webinar on this topic on November 16th. Between 6:30 and 7:30 Pacific time at night in the evening. How to find income and value in an overpriced market. How to find income and value stocks in an overpriced market. If you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. If you're looking for value for the long term, as a long-term investor, we have bargain hunting techniques that we're going to try to share with you. Here's what you're going to learn. How you can tell if a market is overvalued or undervalued. How to find income opportunities, and how to create an income portfolio. Finding true value. Now, the best value investor is, of course, Benjamin Graham, and his rule was, an undervalued stock is priced at least a third below its intrinsic value. Now, but where do you look to find a company's intrinsic value? There are methods, and we're going to show you some of them. Ben Graham wrote this book in the late 1930s, everybody. Income to see you through retirement. There are ways to invest your retirement savings and use just the interest and dividends to generate retirement income for you. Now, if your goal is keeping your principal intact without selling investments to generate retirement income, and not have to worry when the market drops, well, we can help with that. We can show you some things that you can do. So join us. This is live, a live webinar, Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time. There's no cost. All you do is register, and we'll send you the link. So you got to register, and we'll give you a link to how to join. And because it's live, you can ask your questions anytime you want during the hour. You can sign up now at investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab, then webinars. So what's on your list of topics today? This retirement tool is rising in popularity and is still overlooked by the very people who could benefit from it the most. It may be just what is missing in your plan. Five questions to ask before opening a Roth IRA. That's going to be our main talking point today. I also want to talk, is the bull market for bonds coming to an end? The bull market on bonds. That means interest rate, remember, interest rates going down, bond values go up. That's the bull market we're talking about. I'm going to talk about that in more detail. New home sales are out. Did you see it for September? What a surprise. Discuss that. And market momentum, how it works and how it ends. We're talking about relative strength indicator this time. I'm going to be exploring that a little bit more. Relative strength indicator. If you don't know what that is, it's something you need to learn, and we'll talk about it in a bit more detail today. And that's what the market was down today, down 112 points, the NASDAQ down 34, and the S&P down 12. And as you know, I've been quoting you the up stocks up on volume and stocks down on volume for the last couple of months, just to give you a feel what's going on internally. The stocks up on volume were 44. The stocks down on volume, 518. That's the largest disparity up and down I've seen in a while. Most of it on the downside. That's what the market's doing. What's on your mind? I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. Legendary investor Warren Buffett defines investing as the process of laying out money now to receive more money in the future. The goal of investing is to put your money to work. But before your hard-earned money, before you put it out there in the marketplace, you've got to do your homework. Where can it be best used and how? Have questions about getting started? 888-99-CHART for any money questions you might have.
Hi, guys. This is Marty from Westfield, and I have a question on ticker symbol ROBO. This is an ETF that has quite a diversified number of stocks dealing in robotics and technology. I was wondering what your thoughts are on this as a play for future and long-term holdings. And thanks a lot. Bye.
Okay, it's an exchange-traded fund, ROBO, Robo Global Robo Automatic. That's the name of the fund. Exchange-traded fund seeking results corresponding to the Robo Global Robotics and Automation Index. So it's a question of, what do you think of that sphere of investments? And I think it's a good sphere of investments, just like any other strategy you have. Your strategy is you think that robotics and automation is going to continue to expand and grow, therefore drive the stock prices of those companies who focus on it. So now it's a question, well, what is in the index? Are those good companies, bad companies? Do they make money and don't make money? And so that's where I would go next. I would look at the companies inside that index, at least the top, there can't be that many. And I would take a look at all the ones that represent the most, at least 50% of this fund, and see how they're doing. Because you might have a lot of stocks in there that are not very good. So I would take a look at what's in there. But I do like the sphere. I think long term it's going to go up. It's been running high, very well for ever since late 2015. So all last year, all this year, and it might be late to the game. I mean, it already ran 2 years in a row up. So, I always get worried when something rises that much over that period of time with never a pullback of any kind. It should make you nervous too. But I do like the sphere. ROBO is the ETF. 888-99-CHART, five questions you need to ask before five questions you need to ask before opening Roth IRA. before. One is, are you expecting higher taxes in the future? If you expect to make more money and have it in a higher tax bracket, then you should open your Roth now while you're in the lower tax bracket. Because, you know, if you will put money in a regular 401k or a regular IRA, at least you get to deduct that, and you want to deduct that from your higher income, not from your lower income. Roth, you don't get to deduct, but you get all the growth for free in a Roth, whereas you don't in a regular 401k or IRA. Are you currently an active participant in your employer's plan? You have to go there first. Why? Because you can put more money away, and many plans match, and you want to match at least some of your money, your investments into the plan. They match some of it, and you definitely want to do that. Do you want to delay tax advantage of a plan as long as possible? And that's what a Roth will do. You never have to take the money out. Never. You know, so you don't have to ever worry about that. A regular IRA plan you can take advantage of now. But when you start taking the money out, you got to pay taxes on that. So, you know, those are things that you have to consider. And, of course, I like to have both Roth and regular IRAs, or Roth and a regular 401ks, because then you, when retirement, you can decide which ones to take money out of, knowing full well that of the regular 401ks and IRAs, that money is taxed. And if you need more than, you know, let's say you want to take $20,000 out of that, and you don't want to, you need $40,000. If you take $20,000 out of your Roth, then you're only taxed on $20,000, and keeping a lower tax bracket. You can do some tax planning in retirement. Anyways, and did you know that you can take money out? You can put your take money that out of a Roth tax free before retirement age. It's just did you have? You only can take out what you put in, not the growth. Okay, so also, you know, you can take money out if you have unforeseen financial hardship, such as disability, you know, with some large expenses for the disability. You know, certain things you can take money out of regular IRAs or 401ks before you're 59 and a half and not get penalized. So those are some of the things you just got to consider. And, of course, man, we're talking about taxes, and if you're talking about taxes, I'm not the expert. You've got to go to your accountant. He's the expert, not me. Okay? Here's an investing term you should know. What is a custodian? You've probably heard the term, but you're not sure what it means. A custodian is a financial institution that holds customers' securities for safekeeping to minimize the risk of their theft or loss. Custodian holds on to your stocks, your bonds, your cash. They're the ones that hold on to it. A custodian holds securities and other assets in electronic or physical form. Since they are responsible for the safety of assets and securities, they may be worth hundreds of millions or worth billions of dollars. Custodians generally tend to be large and reputable firms like Vanguard, like Goldman Sachs, like, you know, many of the discount brokers, TD Ameritrade, E-Trade, those are all custodians. They're holding on to your stocks, bonds, and cash. For more detailed definition, you go to investopedia.com. They're really good at this stuff. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. Investing requires prioritizing or financial futures over the present desires. So what's more important to you, the future or the present, when it comes to your finances? So you got to make sure you understand what you're doing. Words of wisdom from my friends at Investopedia. Reach me now at 888-99-CHART.
Hello. Good afternoon. This is Kaushik from Naperville, Illinois. I want to know your opinion about VMware. VMW is the symbol. I bought it long back, you know, 2006 at a high price, and then this has been going low, and now suddenly I see it has cost my purchase price. I'm wondering, and need your suggestion, how you think this stock will do in future? Like, what is your take on it? Because it is doing pretty well as of now, and what is an exit point? I love your show. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for the call. And, you know, that gives you a good example of long-term investing. He bought it in 2006. and it fell because he had to go through that crash. And it's just now gotten above his purchase price. VMware. Just now. It's 2017. It's taken him 11 years to get back his money. That's why it's important, why you should be very careful about overpaying for stocks. I keep pounding the desk and pounding the desk. Stocks are overvalued. You got to be real careful. You can't ride them down, or it may take you 11 years to make it back up. Yeah, VMware is a very big company, very good company, $48 billion. It's going to make $5.54 next year, make $5.07 this year, make $4.39 last year. It's growing about 10-12% sales quarter after quarter. The P/E ratio is about 25, which is kind of in the middle of its range. Good return on equity at 23%. Now, the stock, it's $118, and it's going to make $5.25. So, you know, that is what? 100, two, so about a 21, 22 P/E. Still about in the middle range of its of the five-year range of the P/E ratio. Very good cash flow, $19 a trade, a share. Very high. It's a very good company. Now, it's had a nice run from $77 to $118 in a year. So now the question is it going to roll over and give you back? What I would do with this, I wouldn't necessarily sell it, but I'd follow it up with a very tight stop. So as long as it's running up, you can hold on to it. But if it just starts to weaken any bit, you know, if it breaks down below the 20-day moving average, and that's $113.80 right now, if it breaks below like the 20-day moving average, get out. You know, or you can make it tighter. You can make it a 10-day moving average. Just keep an eye on it. That way, if it continues to rise, you ride with it. But if it starts to roll over, you get out. And if it has a bad earnings report, I don't know when it's coming out or if it's come out already, you know, they could, it could tank on you and jump below your stop price and you go, ouch, and it's too late. But the company is very solid, very good, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with the, a long-term basis. It should do well. But you don't want to write it down like you did last time again. You don't want to do that. VMW is the symbol. VMware provides virtualization software enabling organizations to run multiple operating systems on a single computer. Okay. Let's go to Daniel in Chicago. How are you doing, Daniel?
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
So I'm new to investing. I've never actually purchased any stock ever. And the first stock I purchased was Camping World, which is CWH. I purchased it a year ago when they offered an IPO. And really, I decided to keep it for a year purely just, you know, to avoid the short-term capital gains tax. And the stock's done really well. And I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, what to do with it. Should I just sell out the profits and reinvest it? Should I keep it long-term? Should I sell it all? I'm very, very green when it comes to investing, and I did well with my first stock. I'm just trying to figure out what the best strategy is to do with it.
Okay, well, it's good that you're looking at it, because most people make major mistakes after they make their first pick or first couple picks, and they made a lot of money. Then they get way overconfident, and they think they're, you know, they can do it. So don't get that way. It's very, you know, it's hard. Now, this is a Camping World, everybody, and it came out IPO, shoot, when did that happen? In December of 2016, I think?
October. A year ago. It's just about a year old.
Is it October? October, okay.
Yeah.
Operates at 122 retail locations. I think most people are familiar with it. Provides portfolio services, protection plans, products, and resources. So it's Camping World Holdings, CWH. It's making $2.14 this year. That's a little bit less than last year, believe it or not. Next year it's going to make $2.34. Sales are increasing by 10%. And many times these kinds of retail stocks do well this time of year because they're moving into the Christmas season, shopping season, holiday season. So it's not unusual. I would not consider this necessarily as a long-term hold. I would not consider it that way. I would probably take some of the profits off the table. That's what I would do. Maybe half. Sell half your position, and if you literally like it, hold on to the other half, because it's made a very nice run in a fairly short period of time, and that's a good time to take it off the table because it will not continue to do that. Okay?
Great.
Appreciate the call.
Awesome.
Coming up. Thank you. Coming up on tomorrow's Invest Talk, can an app be your entry into investing? That's tomorrow. What's your topic today? What do you want to talk about? My direct line is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues next. First, we'd like to invite you to sign up for our next wealth webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market. So if you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. And if you're looking for value for the long-term investor, Steve and Justin have bargain hunting techniques to share. So here's what you'll learn: how you can tell if a market is over or undervalued, how to find income opportunities, how to create an income portfolio. So join us. It's a live webinar Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. There is no cost. All you do is register, and we'll send you the link to join us live. And because it is live, you can ask your questions anytime during the hour. Sign up now if you'd like on investtalk.com. Click on the Invest Talk tab and then Webinars. Now let's get back to the podcast. This is Invest Talk, 1 hour of financial news and perspective, where you can talk directly with a registered investment advisor. Bring your questions. Our direct line is 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Is the bull market for bonds coming to an end? What is a bull market for bonds? That means interest rates are falling, values of bonds go up when interest rates fall. And so the average length of a bond bull market, by the way, of the last 9 bull markets going back over 100 years, well over 100 years, it's 32 years long. This bull market started in 1980. This bull market in bonds, 1980. That's when interest rates peaked, 1980. They started to fall. That was the days, remember when... You're buying a mortgage, a house, and a mortgage was 13% for a 30-year fixed mortgage. That was the peak of the bear market in bulls and in the bond market. Now we've had, 37 years of a bull market, and the average is 32? Mm-hmm. So the 10-year yield is 2.4%. It was 2% in just September. So that means that the interest rate is going up, the bond values are going down. Now in 2013, the low of the 10-year treasury was 1.67%. Then it went to 3% in 2014. Remember, now it's 2%. Okay, now it fell back down, came back up. And why is it still so low while the Fed's raising rates? The Fed, remember, only controls the overnight rate, the rate that the Federal Reserve lends to banks. That's the only rate they control. But usually when that rate goes up, when they raise that rate, the banks increase their rates to the customers. So that's how the Fed tries to control interest rates. They're not always successful, but that's what they're... But we have no inflation or virtually no inflation, and... The interest rates are, the Fed is doing it very, very slowly, so no one's really worried too much about it, and that's why you have interest rates still very low. The question is, are we coming to an end? Now, I thought the bull market and bond funds was ending back in 2013. I thought that was, okay, there you go, we're probably at the bottom. And we kind of did, but then it went up from 1.6% to 3%, so therefore, interest rates are rising, so the bull market in bonds are over. But then it came right back down. Okay, so it's now fluctuating around these low rates, even while the Fed's raising them. It's still fluctuating. So wow, I can't tell you for sure, but I think the bull market in bonds is over. Why is that important? Because if interest rates rise, it slows down the borrowing by corporations. It slows down, tends to slow down the economy when interest rates rise. That's why the Fed is being very careful. They don't want to hurt the economy. And they know there is no inflation, so there's no really reason for them to raise the rates, except that they're abnormally low. And they'd like to have them higher. That's it. So, I don't know. Is it over? Is the bull market bonds over? I'm tired of saying I think it is because it keeps fooling me. You know, we're 37 years, on the average is 32 years bull market. Now, I would say that we kind of ended the bull market because the low was 1.67% for the 10-year Treasury back in 2013, 4 years ago, and we have never seen that low again. We just had some fluctuations here. Now, let's get back to our 24-hour listen line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, Steve and Justin. This is Trevor in San Clemente, California. Love the show. Thanks for everything. I have a question about YRD, the Chinese online consumer finance marketplace. It looks like it's like a bank that loans products out to people. Looking at this for a long-term hold, just wonder what your thoughts are on it. Be great to hear from you. Thanks.
Well, you know, you're dealing with a communist country, and you know they just had their 5-year planning session over and remade the dictator for another 5 years, gave him a lot more power. I don't know if he's noticed that. And they said in their manifesto, I guess, I don't know what they call it, that they want more control over their private companies. Now, this company is called Yurinde Limited. YRD is the symbol. Is a Chinese-based operator of online consumer finance marketplace connecting borrowers and investors. It's an ADR, traded on R Exchange, the New York Stock Exchange. Their sales are growing 50%, 58% last quarter, 72% the quarter before that, 122% the quarter before that, 125% the quarter before. So sales are slowing down, but they're still very high. They're going to make $2.94 this year, and then they say they're going to make $4.02 next year. It's a $47 stock. That means it's, what, a 12 PE. The 5-year range is 3 to 20. The IPO came out, well, in 2015 for this company, so it's fairly new. You have to take everything with a grain of salt because of where it is and what they do. You know, it's hard to know if this is going to be, you know, how much involvement is the federal government in this company? Did you hear, a few weeks ago, that the Chinese government wants to have a Chinese official on every publicly traded company's board in China? So they're going to have now at least one government official on their board of directors. Now, no one knows what the effects are going to be and what it is. It might be just fine. I can't tell you. That's probably why the PE is low, because of that risk, the government risk in these kinds of things. So it's from a pure financial point of view, it looks like a pretty good price. But I would not trust it, just let you know. John, Santa Cruz, how you doing, John?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for the call.
Yes, I wanted to ask you about AT&T. I remember you telling me to buy more, and I wonder if you think the dividend is bulletproof, and if
I do.
I should load up the truck.
I think it's bulletproof. I don't think it's going to. They're going to cut it. I think they would cut their own throat if they did, and they don't need to, because it's, you know. Yeah. The dividend is like $1.60, $1.70, and they're going to make $3 a share next year. So it's not like, you know, it's choking them. It's not. Now, okay. I talked to somebody the other day, and it's coming to strong support in the low 30s here, 32 when someone called the other day, and I said, I think, you know, it's going to be, I would be a buyer of it. I like AT&T, long as you're buying it for the dividend, because the dividend looks pretty darn secure, even though sales are falling 1 or 2 or 3%. And, you know, they've got some issues, losing some long distance care, you know, but it's just Verizon or AT&T. It's not, I mean, who are you going to go to? Well, else, yeah, you might go to Sprint. That might be a possibility, but even if that, there's only three you can go to. So it's not going away,
T-Mobile,
John.
T-Mobile as well? Isn't there T-Mobile as well?
Yeah. And T-Mobile, I think, is trying to combine with Sprint, you know. So it's going to be three. There's going to be three. And I can't see AT&T not being around for the long haul. I think they'll be around a long time. So, yeah, you can buy more.
I was thinking of loading up the truck, buying a lot of
it. Don't buy more than maybe 5% of your portfolio, John, because I could be wrong and something disastrous could happen. And, you know, I still will never go more than about 5%.
Okay? 5%. Okay.
Yeah. Thanks, John. Right, appreciate the call.
Thank you.
I set aside time each month to talk with our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolios, offering some ideas and maybe some solutions. I will be in San Jose on the 8th of November, or we can meet anytime you want via Skype or telephone if you're not in the, you know, California area. If you'd like to reserve your own hour with me, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Sign up now as open for our next Invest Talk Wealth webinar, How to Find Income and Value in an Overpriced Market. If you're looking for income, there's a way to uncover the sources. If you're looking for value for the long-term investor, we have bargain hunting techniques to share. So join us for this live webinar Thursday, November 16th, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. There's no cost. All you do is register, and we'll send you the link to join us. You can sign up now on investtalk.com. Just click on the Invest Talk tab and then Webinars.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Did you see the new home sales report today? It was huge. It was a 10-year high. It was like a 19% increase month over month and 17% increase year over year. 667,000 new homes sold. 667,000. But do you realize that was only half of the amount in 2005? Half. It was 1.389 million new homes sold that year. Now, this report is strong. Don't get me wrong. It's a strong report. Every region grew, and of course, there was some rebound from the Texas and Florida from those hurricanes, but it was a very strong report. So I think there's like 5 months, 4 or 5 months inventory, which is a healthy amount. And the prices went up. Prices not going down. So it was a pretty strong report. The problem with this report is that it's produced by the Commerce Department, and they take pretty small sampling. Why, I do not know. They take a pretty small sampling, so there's lots of revisions in the report. The next month, it's revised a lot. So what's happened is last month and this month, the numbers are pretty odd. I have a feeling this is going to get revised downward next month. Downward. That would be my guess. But, you know, and it's a backward-looking report, so it's not a leading economic indicator. Building permits would be a leading economic indicator. But it does tell you what the trend is. And you're always looking for the trend and any change in the trend. And this, we've had an upward trend for months and months now, and this is just confirming that trend. So we're still in the same upward trend in housing. And the only way I see it really suffering is when interest rates start to rise, mortgage rates. They're still pretty reasonable, pretty darn reasonable. So I thought that was an interesting report that came out. 888-99-CHART is my number. You can call anytime you want. And, of course, you can leave your questions overnight if you want to. And it doesn't matter if it's a beginner or experienced question. It doesn't matter. We'll take them all. Everybody was a beginner at some point. 888-99-CHART. Here's one of those calls.
I'm Peter from Hercules, California, and I just found out your station. I was just shuffling through my radio station, and I just found out that you guys are talking about stocks. I'm a beginner. I just got into the stock market, so I would I need some tips on like how much to start with, because I'm 28 only, so I'm gonna start on like maybe $1,000. So I need a beginner's tip. So what should I look at? Look for like stocks, or should I invest in ETF or mutual funds? Okay, thank you.
I would start off, and we've talked about this before, I would start off with index funds, ETF, exchange-traded funds for index. There's one for the S&P 500, there's one for the NASDAQ 100, there's one for the Dow, and those are SPY for the S&P 500, the NASDAQ 100 is QQQ, and the Dow is DIA, most common ones. But there's other indexes, Russell 2000, there's on and on and on and on. Okay, but if you're a beginner, you start with indexes because you don't know how to analyze a stock or pick a stock, and you shouldn't buy just one stock. That's very risky. You want to buy 15, 20 stocks. Therefore, you got to have enough money to do that. You know, and that means, and I'm saying about 50 grand. So don't pick individual stocks at this stage. It's just not a smart move for you. Let's talk to Jerry in Palo Alto. Wants to talk about Teva. How you doing, Jerry?
Yeah, speaking of buying one stock, so this is my monthly call. You know, you talk about P.E. ratios all the time, and I know this one's low.
Right.
But the stock is suffering. Now, my other question is, could they ever file bankruptcy because things are so going, what's going on right now? I mean, I'm sure they'd have to do horrible for something like that to happen.
The odds are very extremely slim because they make too much money. Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
They're
only going to make $3. They're making $3.72 a share. That's the estimate for next year. And yeah, that's less than this year, $4.23 this year. And yes, they're going to cut their dividend from 6% down. You know, they're going to cut it by 75% to pay down debt. And so they got all this turmoil going on, but yet they are the largest generic drug maker in the world. Could they file bankruptcy? They could, but there's absolutely no reason for them to do it, and they wouldn't want to do it if they can avoid it at any cost. And, you know, they're doing things to stay healthy, to turn their company around, and they have the sales. Sales are increasing. I don't know if anybody knows. This most recent quarter, this June quarter, the sales went up 13%. The quarter before that were up 17%. So sales are increasing, not shrinking, but the stock is getting beat up. And it could be a value trap. It could be. That's possible. But I don't think so. But, I sold our positions. It was one of the companies we hold. And I'm going to wait until I see things turn around before I buy back. Okay? Appreciate the call, Jerry. Thank you. Teva, T-E-V-A. It's a $15 billion company that was... $30, $40 billion company not too long ago. 888-99-CHART. Market momentum. How does that work? How do you look at it? What do you study? And does it mean anything? How do you know when it changes and what should you do about it? To watch market momentum, one of the easiest ways to do it is using the relative strength indicator, RSI, relative strength indicator. Okay, you're saying, well, how do I find that? Go to stockcharts.com, put in a symbol, put in a chart, and add the RSI to the chart. You get to add that. There's a lot of things you can add to it. RSI. Okay, now, when you do that, RSI, these are some interesting stats. The RSI is a momentum kind of indicator because if it gives above, there's the 30-70 relationship, okay? They draw a line 30. If it drops below 30, that means it's way oversold. Above 70, it means it's overbought. And it has only been above 85 nine times since 1994. I'm sorry, since 1944. Nine times since 1944, above 80. Well, it's above 80 right now. It's at 85. Okay. So those 9 times that it was above 80, what happened? What happened 12 months after that, the 1 year? In almost every instance, 1 year later, stock prices were higher. Higher, not lower. Remember, the stock is overbought at above 70. So what happens 12 weeks after, 3 months? There it gets interesting. Every time that has ever gotten above 85, within 12 weeks, there was a correction in a range of 2% to 16%, with the average correction about 4%. In the 12-week period, once it reached 85. So, what I'm saying to you is it just recently reached 85. Last week, I think, was 85. Within 12 weeks, we're going to have a correction. It could be as small as 2%, which is nothing. It could be as high as 16%, which is a very decent correction. And as it said, the average is 4%. I would feel much more comfortable with a 10% correction. Now you add in the twist of the times that we're in. What happens if he doesn't get a tax cut put through in the next 12 weeks? That's 4 months. The market's not going to like that. So will that mean the market will go down 16% the extreme on this? What if he does? Does that mean we're going to see the stream, the 2% correction, and it's going to be mild and very light? Never is the same. This is one of the things. This is only one study. Never is it the same. Your questions are important, and they always come first. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Hi, Justin. This is Bruce from New York. You have a great show. Thank you. I'm calling about a company called National Grid, Nancy, George, NGG. They're down approximately 5% from when I first bought them, and I would like to buy some more. I see they're going through some Brexit and other currency risks. And again, I'd like to hold this for the long term, so I was looking for your opinion of NGG. Thank you.
Very good company, British company engaged in gas and electric transmission and distribution in the UK and the US. It's a United Kingdom stock, so it's a ADR here, American Depository Receipt. The problem you have is sales are going down. 18% the most recent quarter, most recent 2 quarters, 18%. Before that, the 2 quarters, it was down 10%. So there's where your problem is. Earnings are stabilized at $4.24 for the last 2 years. That's what they're going to make. They pay a 4.7% dividend. It's a $60 stock, 15 PE. So, you know, you buy it for the dividend, hold it for the long term, you'll be fine. Don't buy it for any growth, though, because there's probably not going to be any. Time to wrap it up, everybody. That's NGG, by the way. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm, and I'm glad you could be with me today. On behalf of Justin Klein and the whole KPP family, I want to thank you for being part of the program, and we can do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.